Welcome to the ABM Conversations Podcast, the number one podcast for B2B marketers wanting to explore timeless account-based marketing strategies to drive revenue, customer engagement, retention, and everything that makes sense to both marketers and sales folks. No more fluff. No more vanity metrics. Live from India, made for the world. And now your hosts, Yog and Manish.
How to create a marketing moat? That is what we are going to be discussing in today's ABM Conversations podcast. This is me, your host, Yagneshwaran Ganesh.
And this is me, Manish Nepal.
All right, Manish, off late, we have been listening this term quite a lot called the business moat, and that's what I want to start with. So we keep hearing that there is a certain importance to creating a business moat around your company so that you have a competitive advantage over others. In fact, this term is kind of quite popularized by people like Warren Buffett and quite a few people in the business circuit. But if you look at it literally, what does the term mean? A business moat or an economic moat? So to say, it means that it's kind of a line of defense that you build around your company to make sure that you keep your competitors at bay and also make sure that there is a certain sense of value that your customers see to stay with you in the long term. Now, think about the products like Apple or Amazon that employ kind of strategic ways within the product or in their customer experience to make sure that customers stay with them, or at least they make sure that it's not easy to switch to your competitors' brands at any point you want.
Yeah, I like how medieval this whole thing of building a moat around your castle sounds, while it is being used by some of the most cutting-edge product companies that we know of today, like Facebook, Apple, Amazon, Netflix, and Google. And I think the examples that you gave earlier makes total sense, Yag, when you evaluate the importance of building a business moat from the product perspective. For instance, Apple knowingly builds products that are compatible only with other Apple products, and they patent almost all of their product ideas with a deep passion. Similarly, Google has built its moat on data, and it came up with such a powerful algorithm for searching the internet that it is now the biggest virtual landscape for everything related to marketing, shopping, traveling, and whatnot. And I think this topic that we have selected today is a very interesting topic, and marketing teams can definitely learn a lot by dissecting the different kind of business moats that we are going to discuss so that they can build one for their own product. What do you think, Yag?
Yeah, absolutely. And the moment we talk about marketing moats or talking about moats from a marketing angle, the first thing that I'm able to think of is the idea of creating a category. Now, this can be thought of in two ways, right? So one, you can either be solving an unsolved problem and be creating a category for yourself, that is having the first mover advantage, or you could come into a red ocean, that is a product which already has a lot of competition, but carve a niche for yourself. That is by creating a good marketing story around you. Think about businesses like, say, HubSpot or Drift that did this wonderfully by coming up with a novel way to promote themselves. For example, when HubSpot came into being, it was not probably the first marketing automation system in the world. Marketo probably existed and they were doing quite well even before that. But what HubSpot brilliantly identified is there was a need in the market for people to get leads inbound or get marketing interest or product interest inbound. So the moment they saw this, they coined this term called inbound marketing, and they started this practice which was not existing before. They saw an opportunity and they cashed on it. In fact, the inbound marketing idea that they set up in 2010 is kind of used till date in so many companies. They started this project, they educated the masses, they wrote a book around it. In fact, Dharmesh Shah and Brian Halligan kind of went around everywhere talking about this topic. And today, we almost see the term to be synonymous with HubSpot. And so is the case with Drift as well, right? So Intercom has been there for quite a long time. And in fact, there were other chat products, messaging systems in the world. But now, the moment you think of conversational marketing, though it is not just about chats, we now think only of Drift. They have in fact bent people's reality, fed their perspective, and which is almost what every company should be doing when you create a marketing moat around your product.
100%. Talk about owning a niche and talking about what you want to be identified or discovered for, right? I think just like HubSpot, Drift is a great example of creating a new category in a domain that they would not have otherwise penetrated, because Drift proudly wears the label of being a conversational marketing platform. They created this category when they realized that the core of their product wasn't that different from others in their domain. And as a result, now when somebody talks or thinks about conversational marketing, it's hard for us not to think of Drift, because they have become so interchangeable and synonymous, right? And the point here is, if you don't have a unique product or a capability to build something entirely new on your product, you can take the help of marketing to create a new world order, a new category that will help you position your brand as a monopoly in that category. In other words, instead of trying to fight for a crowded niche, create a new niche and own it. Category creation is also a principle that authors of the famous marketing book, The 22 Immutable Laws of Marketing, talk repeatedly in the book. And in one of the chapters related to creating a category, they talk about the how and why aspect of building a business moat or building a category, where they say it's very important to be first, then to be the best. Now, before we go on to the next moat example, Yag, let's take a break and thank our sponsors, Jest.is. Jest, as you all know, is a marketing content stream that sits on your Google Chrome browser as a new tab extension. It's a platform where you can submit and curate high-quality articles, podcasts, infographics, videos, and ebooks. And its algorithm is powered by artificial intelligence, which allows you to handpick your own personalized content feed that is specific to your unique taste.
Yes, Manish and I absolutely love this product, right? So as marketers and content creators, both of us have been using Jest quite a lot. And based on the feedback that we've been getting from you guys, we understand that some of you have also become users of Jest, and you use it to promote as well as discover new content to and from like-minded marketing communities. So if you want to support us for the ABM Conversations podcast, and at the same time, if you want to boost your high-quality content with an elite community of marketers, all you have to do is just go to zest.is/contentboost and get a $75 off of your first boost by just letting them know that the ABM Conversations podcast sent you. Now, going back to the discussion that we were having, Manish, one of the best things, or one of the best examples that I really love in terms of moat creation, is not just about the kind of story that you create going into the market, but also the approach you take to penetrating the market. This is where I really love the story of Intercom, right? So what Intercom did was they realized that a lot of people were looking at chat purely from a customer engagement, customer support perspective, but not a lot of them were targeting companies outside of the enterprise suite. Not a lot of people were looking at the startup communities and the mid-market companies. And to make a note of this, to capture this market, what Intercom did was they went around and partnered with quite a lot of startup communities. For example, let's say they partnered with Y Combinator. The advantage that they have is Y Combinator churns out a lot of companies through them every year and twice a year, right? Summer as well as in winter. Now, what they did was they offered Intercom for free for all these startups within the Y Combinator community. Now, they offered it for free until this company, these companies reached at least 10 employees or something of that sort. But the story here is that they did this instead of investing a lot of money on marketing, on advertising, so on and so forth. The advantage here is that when these companies grow, then the revenue through these companies are also going to grow for Intercom. So that's something that I really love about this.
Yeah, I love that example too. I think, if you look at the statistics, it says that 95% of all the startups fail, but the the beauty of this strategy that Intercom went behind is, even if they succeeded with the 5% of the companies that are successful in attracting investment or funding and evolve to become businesses of scale, I think the goal is set, right? I mean, they will achieve the goals of being successful in going after this little known kind of counterproductive strategy. So yeah, I love that strategy, which brings me to another kind of moat that we have seen across industries, which is open source as a business model. Open source as a business model is another yet great example of creating a marketing moat. And two of the most common names that come to my mind when I talk about open source is none other than Tesla and WordPress. Let's talk about Tesla first. In 2014, Tesla, as many of you might remember, made its electric car patents open to the public, explicitly stating that technology leadership is not defined by patents, and promising that Tesla will not file lawsuits against anyone who replicates Tesla's patent in good faith. Now, let's take an example from WordPress, which is a much closer and easier example to relate for us as B2B marketers. There's a reason why WordPress.com powers 28% of the entire internet traffic, actually 37% by some recent estimates. It's because the parent company, Automattic, open sourced the WordPress content management system for everyone to use. And at the outset, open sourcing your proprietary technology might look like a loss of opportunity to make money, but look at how long this game is, right? People, even without the coding knowledge, started building websites on WordPress because it's easy and free. But once they are locked into the platform, there are other ways for WordPress to monetize the platform, such as by selling plugins, selling ads on free sites, and selling premium paid plans to users to get rid of the ads, get more themes, as well as get more storage space. And I'm sure that Tesla also has a business agenda behind making their technology public, which we are yet to discover. But I know this for sure, Yarg, that the rhetoric of mankind should be able to share knowledge and not hide it behind the walls of large corporates that Tesla postulates is nothing but a well thought out branding plan.
Yeah, absolutely. And with that, today we are coming to the end of our conversation at the ABM Conversations podcast. And we would love to hear from you guys as to what are some of those marketing moats that you see day-to-day in your surroundings, in your business environment. And if you have practiced some of it for your company, we would love to learn from you. And until then, until the next episode, this is Bye from me, Yag.
And this is Bye from me, Manish. Take care.
Thanks for listening to the ABM Conversations podcast. Make sure you subscribe and share your comments with us. We're constantly looking for your feedback, thoughts, and suggestions to make the show more relevant to you.